This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm currently in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 21st, episode 2294, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
And coming up on today's show, Suzanne Vlystra is going to stop by and tell us all about her amazing halflinger adventures. And it's Monday and all, so Deanne Long, and one of these days I'll get her name right, from Horse Nation is going to stop by and add a little chuckle to our day. And we're going to go over everyone's weekend adventures, good, bad, and ugly. So stay tuned for the fray.
Also, of course, we have a collection of equestrian first world problems, so stay around for that. But yeah, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, Glenn. Woohoo! So,
are you supposed to be home?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for bringing that up. So I left California yesterday, and I flew to Phoenix, and I actually was just going to stay, and then I should have been home by now, taking a super early flight, but there were some tornadoes in Dallas last night, which is, I think, why my flight was canceled.
Was there Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas, I was supposed to go yeah. into Dallas. Yeah, and so it was a little bit crazy. So I think the flights got canceled trying to get there. So that's why there's no planes there this morning. And so there's about a billion people at the airport that are probably cussing Dallas right now. But you know what? I got to go to dinner last night with my girlfriends, and I got up this morning at 4, checked the flights, and went back to bed. So it's all good.
And I don't think you really want to go to Dallas last night. It didn't sound like it was much fun.
No. And apparently my farm sitter's like, oh yeah, we had some major weather. I was like, what does that mean? She's like, well, you only had one tree down on your fence.
Oh really? So you
I'm
had
sorry.
It too, huh?
What? Yeah. So we had like massive wind and hail. And so the tree came down on the fence. She's like, but it's holding. So I got to go to work. Bye. Okay. Maybe send me a pic when you get back. Like, cool. So yeah, we'll see what happens when I get home. But it was, I'm glad my friend Jen has this nice fancy setup that I could do my show from her office.
Thanks, Jen. Jen. Our thoughts to everybody in that area. There was apparently the tornado was on the ground for a very long time. It did like major destruction. So
17 miles, I think I read. So, wow.
And I know the middle part of the country is all under tornado warnings today. So we have a lot more listeners in that section. We hope you and your ponies and your animals are safe today. All right, let's do some daily whinnies. Well, my daily whinny is not a happy birthday because there were none. No auditors were born today. But we do have...
that you know of.
Yeah, not that I know of. We want to welcome new auditors, Jerry, who doesn't have a last name, Rich Muller, who is Kayla's dad, who was with us at the makeover.
Kayla, he's peeping on
you,
man.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
He's creeping on you. Watch out.
I think that's why he wanted to be in there. He's also my buddy on the Horse Lovers Cruise, fellow horse. He's a horse father and horse husband. He's got them both. Kristen Munson, Jennifer Wright, and Katya Korsh. Is it Katya? K-A-T-J-A. Yeah. Katya. I'm going with Katya. Katya Korsh. Welcome to all the new auditors. If you're not part of the auditor room yet, which I know some of you are not, just search for HRN Auditors on Facebook and ask to join. And if you, too, want to become an auditor, go to horsesinthemorning.com and search on the right-hand side. You'll see an auditor banner. Click on that, and for as little as $3 a month, you, too, can support the shows and join the party.
Well, my daily winnie goes out to all the participants and volunteers and people behind the scenes for the clinic this past weekend at Monty's. I did the Horse Sense and Healing Clinic. And oh my gosh, what a powerful and amazing weekend it turned out to be. You know, you just never know what you're going to get when you get there. And these people, bless their hearts, have had so much trauma. You know, and they're all just trying to get better. And it's such a hard thing to seek help and drive into that farm and sign up for something. They're none of them are horse people, you know, and some of the stories that I heard, I mean, I think the one that resonated the most with me was there was a several people that were in the Thousand Oaks shootings. And one of the ladies lost her son, and to me that was really hard to.
Yeah, we think veterans. We don't think of other types of PTSD. Right?
Well, she also is a veteran.
Oh,
so it's like double pain, you know, and in certain situations. But that was definitely, I think, her challenge. And I got to say, you know, there's always like these are military men and women, but there's always seems to be like a guy that's like super huge. Super tattooed, like neck tattoos, arms and everything like that. And
you can see him in the bar brawl, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The amazing, you know, really unique, interesting looking, intimidating looking guys. And I was
a little 5'2" Jamie standing
there. Yeah, you know, here we go. And so I, there's one of them in particular, and, he told me I could sell him out on the show. So I ask all of them if I can talk, you know, and I'll just be very general in the terms, but he's a big, tough, mean looking dude, you know? I mean, so he goes and he does this join up and we work all weekend on teaching them and it's a connection with the horse and he did like the most perfect join up and the horse comes right to him and it was like this beautiful moment. And part of the thing is we walk back and we talk about it. So I'm walking back with him and I was like, wow, that was so, so good. And he's not a horse person. I'm like, that was so really good. Like your connection with the horse was nice. I'm like, can you tell me a little bit more about how you were able to achieve that? It's going to get to be kind of vulnerable. I'm like, tell me how you were able to achieve that. 6'2", tattooed, neck tattoo. I mean, just like, dude, he's like, can I tell you a secret? I was like, well, that's why I'm here. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Yeah, the person to tell is the person with the largest horse podcast in the world. That's the one.
Again, I did get permission to retell this story, but he's like, can I tell you a secret? I'm like, yeah, please do. I watch Heartland. I'm sorry. What?
Like, first, how Heartland. Did he even know about Heartland?
I was like, who? Wait, you are not the typical Heartland viewer, you know?
No, he is not.
I was like, you watch Heartland? Oh my God. I was like, he's like, yeah. I just really thought about what Amy does. And I was like, oh my God, I channel my inner Amy every time.
Right,
I trade or I tried not to laugh. I was like totally gobsmacked, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, just not the thing I was expecting
well,
him
and
to
she
say.
Does join up, right?
Isn't yeah.
Part of what
so
she does?
That,
yeah.
Yeah. They talk about join up quite a bit. And backstory to that is, you know, it's a conglomerate of authors that wrote this book. And so the authors are writing the book and join up is trademarked, but they wanted to include it. So they contacted the farm. And I think Debbie's younger brother, who was doing some of the farm work back then, answered the phone. Yeah, we want to use join up and all this. And he was like, okay, I've talked it over at the board. You can use the term join up, but you cannot mention Monty Roberts' name. And now Debbie's like, big mistake.
Yeah. It's only been gone 12 years.
And it's funny because I've been in, like when I did the advanced course, one of the girls from South Africa, she knew, about, she came to Monty's because of Heartland in South Africa. And she's like, I didn't know what join up was. So I just Googled it and Monty's name came up. So here I am like years later after studying
biggest
it.
Biggest mistake they've ever made.
Big mistake. So this big tough dude, like totally, and he's of course like as big and tough as he looks, he's like the biggest sweetheart, you know, ever. And a lot of these guys were medics like in the war zones, you know, and just I can't even imagine some of the stuff they saw. Another got one of the guys was in the Thousand Oaks shooting and has like scars on his arm from busting out windows and pulling people out of the building when it was going on. I mean, like these people are heroes, and to be able to spend a weekend with them and share a little bit about the horses and learning the connection and talking Heartland, which I did not expect to do with this particular one, but it was awesome. And I'm really, really thrilled for everybody who got to participate. And
now
the volunteers are awesome too. Wow.
Was this the first one you did without Monty? There?
Yes. Yes.
So this was their first maiden voyage.
It was myself and Ellie Boardman, who is in England, she flew in for this as well. So both of us kind of taught the clinic together. But usually on Saturday morning, one of the first things is Monty does a join up demo with all the participants watching. And they're like, okay, Jamie, you're doing the demo. I'm like, no, Monty does the demo. I can't. What? Okay. Oh my God. So yeah, I had to do the join up demo, which of course was awesome and it went great. And it's just fun to be able to show them kind of what it's like. And of course they bring me a 17 two-hand, you know, racehorse, thoroughbred, and the thing's flying around. It was just, but it ended up really cool. And it was just really awesome to be
made
a part
it dramatic.
Of it.
I love
participating.
It's
it was
better
very
than
they
have brought you a mini. You know?
The problem is that all of them after that, they were like, we're scared. We don't want this is scary. Like, no, 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 you're not going to have that horse.
It would
have
been better
like
with the mini.
2-hand quarter horse. Okay. So, yeah, it was very dramatic here. That's a very good way
so,
to put it.
Without identifying who, you know, as best you can, was there one that you thought halfway through, this one's not going to make it, and then did?
You know, to be fair, I'm going to blanket statement it.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them.
Oh.
You know, it's just tough to even imagine any of them. But the process that we use is just step by step, incremental, by, you know, small baby step by baby step. And every single one of them had an amazing thing. But I definitely always go in like, okay, I know I can help them. I know I can teach them this. It's just how willing are they to try to accept the concepts and accept the, you know, there's a lot of breathing associated with it. There's a lot of relaxing. There's a lot of letting go of things. And I just, you know, when you go into it, you're like, how are these people going to let go of what they have to be able to focus on something else? But that's the kind of magical power of it is they let go. And all of a sudden they're, it kind of opens up another part of their world that, you know, it gives them a little more clarity. So, yeah, all of them and then none of them, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that, I mean, there's just, it's just the life that these people have led and the things that they've seen. I don't want to be on the other side of those eyeballs. You know, I don't think I can handle it. So I'm glad there's heroes out in this world that can do what they do.
Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend out there at Monty's doing that. Well, you know, I had an interesting thing happened over the weekend to change gears totally.
I saw a picture of a pony butt.
No, well,
a really cute pony butt.
That's part of it. But before that, on Saturday, I had to run over my rubber boots, kick the bucket, and I had to run over and get my next chair of cheap rubber boots at Rural King. Do you know what a Rural King is?
No.
Rural King's like a Tractor Supply on steroids. Think Walmart of Tractor Supply. It's this huge store.
That sounds awesome.
They have everything for a farmer, right? Everything. I mean, not just horse people.
Yeah, we have Atwoods. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's Walmart size. So I pull up and of course I'm just half paying attention and I'm walking across the parking lot and there tied to the post is a baby deer.
What?
Tied by a leash with a collar to a post in front of a Royal King is a baby deer eating popcorn out of a bowl.
Now, Glenn, let's set the tone here. This was not just a deer. I don't think it was a baby, but it is small. It was wearing a pink rhinestone studded collar.
Oh my God.
Rhinestone collar. I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page. But so then I look over and there's this table and there's a skunk on it.
What?
And I've gotten the skunk's just walking around on this table. And of course I was only half paying attention. So I get there and I'm
that
going.
That didn't draw your full attention.
Well, I did at that point. So then I'm going, okay, what's going on here? Well, it was a rescue for wild animals. They're raising money at the Rural King. But this deer, this tiny deer, which you're right, might not be a baby, but it wasn't a very big deer. But that's how they make them in Florida, was just standing there, and I have a picture of it, eating popcorn out of a bowl. Because they serve popcorn at Roar King right inside the door.
I don't know if that's on the approved diet for a deer, but again, I don't know what is approved.
Although it looked like it was buttered popcorn, which means the deer's probably going to die of heart failure early. But he was just standing there. People came up and petted it. It was the tamest deer I've ever seen in my life.
And there's nobody around?
No, there were people over there manning the table, and the skunk was walking around the table, and then they had other exotic animals there too. But it did catch your attention, and they were getting a lot of donations. And I thought, well, they're getting a lot more donations than most of the, Girl Scouts that stand by the Burl King door, right? They definitely caught your attention. It was excellent marketing.
Girl Scouts need a baby deer.
They need something because it was excellent marking. That deer had 1,000 pictures taken that day.
Wow.
But it was. The weather did finally break here in Florida over the weekend, which means we're out of our winter, our Florida winter, and coming into our beautiful time. And it was cool over the weekend, so I got to get Scooter out. I drove him 3 times last week. Can you believe that? 3 times in 1 week.
He's like, what happened?
Dad? I know. He was. By the time we got home on Sunday, he was like, what happened? Why am I doing this? And I didn't sign up for this. But he's a little out of shape, but we worked on that. And we got to go out to the dam I talk about all the time that we go to. It's an island. And there were only one other trailer there with 2 horseback riders. So we had thousands of acres to ourselves. We ended up finding a new trail. It was just absolutely beautiful. Scooter was a model student, didn't make one wrong turn. I have no that girl stories to tell today.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. It was just good.
Well, one minor that girl moment.
What was that? Oh, yeah.
Well, remember you hitched it? Yeah.
I found out what happened there, but he wouldn't turn when I first started off, and that's because the rein was caught under his harness, and neither one of us noticed it. So I don't know. We both harnessed him up, and something got messed up in the harnessing, but he wouldn't turn
Scooter
left because he wasn't feeling my left rein at all. But yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun, and it was good to get out again. For sure. Cool. So I'm looking forward to a lot of that over the winter here. Fair Hill happened over the weekend. It's a 4-star event. It's one of the largest events for eventing in the country. Yet it doesn't really never has really gotten a lot of publicity. And there were some professional riders complaining about it. There used to be a lot more spectators. I was looking at the pictures and watching some of the videos. And when we would go because we live near there. We would go every year down to Fair Hill. It was our big time out. And there were a lot more spectators than there were now. And that's where they're going to do the new 5-star next year. So that'll be the second 5-star to be held in addition to Kentucky.
As an eventer, we all know about Fair Hill. So I don't know where is it very spectator friendly?
It's a lot of walking. It's spectator friendly, but you can't see a lot of the jumps from one spot. So you do have to walk. You have to walk your way around. Kentucky's actually a little better for seeing more jumps in one spot. Years ago,
Fair Hill was also set up originally when they used the actual 3-day eventing long format phase A, B, C, D. Now, supposedly for the 2020 5-star, which used to be the 4-star, it's going to be a whole entirely new course in a completely different place on the property that is really spectator friendly, so you can actually see jumps. It's going to be loops, so you can see more jumps compared to what they have now.
That's Chad's least favorite thing. So I would call that not spectator friendly, Glenn, in its current state, because that is Chad's least favorite thing. He's like, I literally sit here for 3 days and I see you jump 2 things.
Well, it's a horse husband problem. do have. Years ago, too, when Fairhill first started, it used to be more of a festival. They would have a dog agility show going on with hundreds of dogs there. They would have the carriage driving went on the same time. They had an event the same time as the riders. So you'd watch the carriages do their thing in the morning and the riders late morning afternoon. But then the riders complained about the carriages, and that got to be a nightmare, and they finally quit doing the carriage thing, and then they complained about the dogs. But those things drew extra people. They drew spectators. And so when we would go, there'd be a lot of spectators, some watching the dogs, and then would walk off and do the horses and vice versa, and it just made it more of a party. And I personally think we need to get back to that. But we'll see what they do next year for the five-star. But did you see there was controversy this year at Fairhill?
You talking about the Doug Payne
issue? What's the rule now if you're jumping a jump and you knock over the flagpole? It used to be it didn't matter if you knocked over the flagpole. But so what's the rule?
So I think that the way that it currently is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but your horse has to go at least 50% over the flag. So it has to pass through more of the horse's body has to be inside the flag than outside the flag.
And it has to do with the shoulder too, right, Jennifer? Something about the shoulders? I don't remember.
That's where they jump it. Yeah. So right at the point of the shoulder.
Yes. Yes. It's the plane of this and the angle of that. But essentially what has to happen is if the flag goes down, everything pretty much in front of the saddle has to go through inside. Where the flag would have been if the flag were still there.
Well, looking at
the video, the only way to really tell is to look at a video from the correct angle. If the video is coming from 90 degrees from where the flag gets knocked down, you can't tell. And that's going to be really, really hard, because what happens is they have to review video, and it can be hours and hours and hours after your round is finished before you know what your score is.
Now, people there said they were videoing all the jumps. They were doing the video.
They're I don't know if it's required yet, but I think going forward it's going to be a requirement that every jump has to have video from at least one angle, if not multiple, and then they have to get that video back to the judges. And then the judges have to review it, and then they have to him in the hall, and then we have to go on Facebook. And
I just have this picture in my mind of the football judge or the football referees running over to the sideline and looking into that TV with the hood over the top. That's all I have a picture of.
Exactly. So what did you think, Glenn?
Well, the video angle that Kayla posted was kind of from behind to the side, so it wasn't straight on. And from there, it looked like he wasn't. And he got the 15 points. They ruled that he didn't jump the jump. And there were a lot of people, though, saying, these skinnies are so damn skinny. Just make them wider. We don't have this problem. Make them wider. If you knock the pole over at all, then just make the pole the indicator, right? You and I have had this discussion. I think the skinnies are too skinny to begin with. I think there are too many of them. But anyway.
Yeah, the point of the narrow jump for non-eventers is to test the accuracy and of the horse and how accurate they can be. So the skinnies, I mean, it's all hard.
Just make it if the pole goes over, you get the points, period. You either jump in the middle of the poles or you don't. So I don't know.
So make the skinny wider and then have no forgiveness.
No forgiveness. Yeah.
That's
Then you don't even need 2,500 extra volunteers doing videos on the cross country course. It's the same for sure. By the way, it poured on Sunday, which every year we went to Fairhill, it would pour one of the days. Well, they got through cross country and it was a mud heap on Sunday during jumping. It was just, I saw the pictures and they were covered in mud. The one thing I will say is I saw one of the professional riders post two things today. Be nice to your volunteers. Apparently there was a lot of not being nice to volunteers over the weekend. And I saw a lot of volunteers posting that they were thinking of not going again. Anytime you're going to a show, and I know you do this, be nice to your volunteers.
Oh my gosh, I love going when you are walking your course and somebody's sitting out there like jump judging, just say, turn to them and go, thanks for volunteering.
No, don't say that. Don't say that because you'll get eliminated.
When I'm walking my course, Jen.
Yeah. When you're walking your course, yes.
Now, you know who does a good
job? Did that.
Who does a good job of that is the drivers. And they apparently don't get eliminated because they're always when they come out of those obstacles, they're always thanking the volunteers. They do a good job. Anyway, that's one thing. Second thing is, I know there was this controversy over points and everything, but no horses got hurt and nobody died. This was a good show overall. Considering the weather on Sunday and everything, this was a good show. So
I just hate that we give so much airtime or credence to people that complain on social media. Like, everybody complains on social media about
it. But isn't that the
story
of our life now?
I know. It's amazing. It's crazy.
It really is the story of our life right now. It really is what it is. All right, let's take a break for Omega Alpha. And we're waiting for our first guest to call us. Our first guest is calling us, Jamie.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Thank you to Omega Alpha. We appreciate their continued support here on the show. Well, did you see that we had a little accident at a football game?
No. What are you talking about?
The Sooner Schooner, which is a horse-drawn, like, chuck wagon.
Are you telling me what the Sooner Schooner is? It is two little minis, two ponies that pull a wagon at the OU games.
Yes.
And every time a touchdown is scored, the poor little ponies have to go galloping out there into the crowd, make a turn and gallop back in.
Well, I give the ponies credit because they were really good over the weekend. When they made the turn, the drivers made it a little hard and the Sooner Schooner went over.
Was that this weekend?
Yeah, through the drivers way off. I mean, they got thrown. They're fine. But the whole top of the wagon, which is like they use in chuck wagon races, right? Kind of looks like a chuck wagon race.
Like a mini chuck wagon, yeah.
Yeah, well, and the whole top came off. And then, I mean, literally the only thing left was the frame on wheels, and the little ponies, the cute little white ponies, took off with and managed. They got wrangled at the end zone and everything was fine. The ponies were fine. They didn't go down or anything. They I think they enjoyed it, actually. They looked like they were laughing at the end. but yeah, so then, of course, PETA came out right
I'm
away immediately
video.
And said, you can't bring ponies out there. This is what happened. Well, nothing happened to the ponies, and it wasn't even the ponies' fault. The guy turned the corner too sharp.
Those ponies have the best life.
I bet they
The university, so I had a friend that had the job before.
Oh, really?
The university pays somebody to take care of the ponies. And so the ponies lived on her farm, and she would take them to all of the, because they do not just games, but they do appearances all over the entire city all the time. So like they'll have like, they'll go to a fire station, you know, or go to a kid's thing, or go to the Sooner Schooner makes a public appearances all over Norman, Oklahoma. And these ponies live what pony do you know that like gets bathed and groomed and perfect food and, you know, looked after like it's a million. I mean, they're just like super well taken care of ponies. It's crazy.
Well, we were expecting our first guest was going to be calling us today. Must be running late. Horse people problems, I am sure. But I have another story here for you that just, well, a couple of them that blow my mind. One is Michael Strahan. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
He's the Good Morning America co-host. And normally I don't bring
former
stories.
Football player. Yes. And he also was like on Michael.
Yeah, it was Kelly Ripa's show, right? Wasn't he on that for a while? And then he went to Good Morning America and he's co-host on there. And he's like the size of a house. Well, I normally don't bring these kind of stories, except there's one thing in the story that really jumped out on me. He's currently facing allegations of underpaid child support and avoiding paying for equestrian expenses. According, now take the source, TMZ, take that in mind. It is TMZ. He allegedly owes his ex-wife nearly $500,000, although Strahan has denied portions of these claims. He's not arguing all of them. Now, listen to this next paragraph. In the legal documents obtained by TMZ, apparently she alleges that the former New York Giants defender agreed to share the expenses for his twin daughter's horseback riding bills, amounting to, are you ready?
No.
$450,000 since 2017. That's 2 years.
2 years, 450. Sounds about right. Sounds about right to me.
First of all, Michael, you are an idiot for agreeing to pay half of the horse riding expenses. That's one thing. $450,000 wow. since 2000. So what do? Do we buy expensive horses? We just keep them at expensive places? We pay for expense? I mean,
well, they're in, let's see, Good Morning America is in New York. So let's just assume that they probably have their horses stabled in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Because that's where you do the hunter jumper stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're probably at a place that is $6,000 a month board, plus training, plus lessons, plus shows. You know, the Hampton Classic ain't free. And so you're, oh my gosh, yeah. Like I said, $450? Sounds about right.
Well, she wants half of that. Apparently, he hasn't paid any of it, and they're having this big divorce argument. And, you know, with like most things in life, when there's arguments like this, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, right? But it was the amount that blew my mind. I was like, holy crap. I could keep my horses for that, couldn't you? Your two horses for that?
I could keep a lot of horses for that.
Another story, too, that has been all over the place, and I'm sure you saw it, was the abandoned horses, or the horses in the abandoned Chernobyl villages.
Tell me about that.
So, of course, we all know what happened in Chernobyl in 1986. They had the nuclear accident that pretty much, you know, had a meltdown and eliminated people living in hundreds of square miles around Chernobyl. And it's basically been an exclusion zone ever since because of radiation. Well, they managed at one point to put up thousands of cameras around the area. And they've now gotten 11,000 images of the, the Przeworski?
Przeworski
horses living there in abandoned structures that they're using as shelters and particularly barns. So they have all these images. You can see them online. Just look it up. But they have all of these images of these horses living there. Now, and apparently there's all kinds of other wild animals that they've seen on the cameras. They've seen red deer, moose, wild boar, red fox, raccoons, wolves, lynxes, and all kinds of bird species. Yet it's still too radioactive for people to live there. And I looked for it through all the articles about how these horses are surviving or how long they live. I guess they just don't really know. It was just surprising to me that, one, how are they surviving? So if anybody has read more about this and knows how they're surviving in the radiation, let me know. I'd love to hear that side of this story. But they're saying, ironically, their populations are increasing, and that this exclusion area is basically helping save the species.
It's like turbocharging the sperm of these stallions.
We're going to have Spider-Man horses. We're going to have going to be super horses, all kinds of super horses out there.
Man, you know what? Women, if you don't want to get pregnant, don't go to Chernobyl. It's just your ovaries really start working overtime, apparently.
Isn't that crazy, though? It's just crazy.
I wonder what the long-term effects are. I mean, who knows? But these, I got to see some Przeworski horses when I was in Spain. And man, I mean, they're just one step lower on the evolutionary, you know, equine table, it just seems. So they're pretty amazing looking things.
Well, so those were the interesting stories I came up with over the weekend. It looks like our guest is going to be here in just a couple of seconds. I did want to say that Stable Scoop has a new episode out. I told you that we were going to be starting up a new season of stories, and we have done that. So if you want to hear the latest story on Stable Scoop, they're told in the style where you kind of have to guess the end. Mike Rowe, Paul Harvey style, where you don't know the answer to the end. Although Jennifer guessed this one in about the first paragraph. So she got it early.
I never get Mike Rowe's right.
Oh, man. No. Well, he talks about some obscure stuff. But yeah, the next story is out. So check your players. And also, Stable Scoop has been upgraded to a new server. So actually, all the episodes of Stable Scoop are now available on your players, where before there was only about 20. And we're going to be doing that with Horses in the Morning over the next couple of weeks. So instead of just having 15, 20 episodes, you'll actually have hundreds. I don't know how many we're going to put up, maybe 500. So you'll be able to go back a long way. Well, we'll start putting them up where the sound got better. I think that's a good idea, don't you, Jamie? That's what we'll do.
Yes, we're not doing anything blog talk related. That was our first server, and it sounded like we were on like really bad AM radio.
Yeah, that's right. All right, our guest is here. Now, she did an amazing thing, and I love Halflinger ponies, and she has a cute Halflinger pony named Leah. And Halflingers are kind of like the mini draft horses of the world. And we have Suzanne here, who is from California, right, Suzanne?
That's correct.
Okay, good. So you did an amazing thing with a pony. And first of all, tell us about a Leah.
Well, I can tell you about Leah, but I want to correct a couple of things that you said.
Okay.
Just oh, Lord, here we go. Yes, girl. Correct him. Do it. I love
okay. it. Okay. Halflingers are not ponies. Halflingers are horses. They are warm bloods. Okay. They have Arabian blood and blood from native mountain horses in the Tyrol region of Europe. They are not ponies. They may measure as ponies. They may measure as horses, but they are technically a horse breed.
Just Glenn,
now, I call,
how did you
I call
not
her
know?
Because she's like that.
Glenn, how did you not that know that they had to the old
argument. That goes back to the old argument. If it's under 14 and a half hands, it's a pony no matter what breed, right?
They measure, like I said, they may measure as ponies, but they're considered a horse breed. They are also not a draft breed. There is no draft blood in halflingers.
Huh.
She showed you, Glenn. Jeez. I mean, don't get another thing wrong with this guest on.
It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just the breed is sometimes, like a lot of other horse breeds, like we have opinions, right?
Yeah.
The horse breed, the halflinger horse breed is a warm blood breed. Back to the foundation sire that was allegedly half Arabian back in the 1870s, 1880s in the Tyrolean region. And they are not considered a draft breed, and they are not considered a pony breed. Shetland ponies are ponies because they're built to be that small. Halflingers are small horses. They may measure as ponies.
It's like with minis. People don't like being called mini ponies because they're mini horses. It's like a proportion thing.
Right, right. Well, now that we got that straight, let's go on. So, Leah, tell us about Leah.
Okay, so Leah measures just slightly over a pony if you're measuring by hand. She measures as a pony if you're measuring in the metric system. So that puts her right on the cusp and introduces even more fodder for our discussion. But anyways, she's about a little over 14 and a half hands. And she is this really fun horse that can do a bunch of different things. And so we've done all these different things with her. And it's been a really fun adventure for me and this growing group of friends that we call Team Leah that kind of just enjoy the story and the adventure of this little horse that could.
Where did this one come from?
I actually purchased her from a gentleman in North Carolina. She was bred in Michigan. There's lots and lots of halflinger activity in the Midwest, not very much at all out west. It's more regional strength in the breed and mostly in the Midwest, although you can find them everywhere.
I know when we lived in Pennsylvania, this was 30 years ago, there were lots of them there, too. You know, they were becoming really popular then at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So what made you want to, you headed off to a breed show, and that's where the story comes in. You headed off to a breed show. We just got back from the Kentucky Horse Park for the Thoroughbred Makeover. Jamie was competing in that. But you headed there for a breed show. Tell us about it.
The American Halflinger Registry had their 2018 national show was at the Kentucky Horse Park, which was a big deal for us because it's, you know, fancy facility and so forth and so on. So off we went from California, never having seen a Halflinger show, but knowing that we had a Halflinger, and with the lady that trains Leah named Mikey Harkle, We found a group of people that just sort of congealed and kept saying, well, that would be fun. That sounds fun. I want to go to Kentucky. So off we went to Kentucky. Seven of us went to Kentucky with one mare, and six different people showed her in a bunch of different events at this Haflinger National Show.
Were you trying to break a world record? It's like, did you contact Guinness?
Here was our thing with the horse. We always said that if she ever said no, we would stop doing whatever we were doing. And she's just never said no. This horse she's got a really cheerful disposition. And I think she kind of likes going to horse shows. And like I said, she's good at a lot of things. We kept trying new events with her, and she'd say, okay, let's give it a try. And so off we went to Kentucky.
Well, and apparently she did pretty well in Kentucky.
She did. It was a very successful show for us in terms of prizes, but it was even more successful in terms of just having this grand adventure. It seems like all of the seven women that went were at some sort of crossroads in their life of various things. Everything from the youth rider, Delaney, who was just graduating from high school and headed off to college the day after the horse show, which was incidentally her 18th birthday, to me, who had recently retired from a business I ran for many years, trying to decide what to do in the future. And, you know, everybody had their story on our trip, including the horse. And it was just this really neat drawing together of all these women going to have an adventure. Some of us reliving our childhood, some of us still just exiting our childhoods. And we met so many wonderful people. I blogged about this on Chronicle of the Horse a little bit, and people came up, you know, they drove to Kentucky to meet my horse. It was really super fun, and people were friendly, and it just was a very feel good adventure.
So how many different disciplines did she do at the show?
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't remember them all, but we did something else fun, which was there was a stall decorating contest, and we decided we'd be the golden girls with the golden horse from the golden state for the golden anniversary of the American Haflinger Registry. So I kind of built this gold rush town for our stall decorations, which was 40 feet long.
Oh my God.
And had, it was like, I got a little carried away. It's kind of like a boardwalk looking Western town with all these painted facades that we put up on the stalls. And Leah's stall had one that was next to the sheriff's office. And so her stall door had a great big huge sign on it, let's say, that said wanted, like a wanted poster, except it was cut out at the top. So her face was sticking out.
I saw a picture of that.
When she was running around the stall. Yeah. And so on the wanted poster, we put a list of all the events that she did. Back to your question. So she did a bunch of stuff. She does Western. She does hunt seat. She does driving. She does trail. She did the in-hand classes. She did the versatility class. That's probably most of, but keep in mind that there were six different women showing her. And one of the most super fun ones for us was my friend Julie, who drove with me from California and back with all of our stuff. I had someone haul the horse, but I had to take my whole truck and trailer full of all the clothes and the carriage and all the stuff that we needed for this
Western
adventure.
Town.
And the 40-foot long Western town, that too. And so Julie and her little dog, her Jack Russell named Joey, they came with me. And I saw in the show premium, hey, there's a carriage dog class. Now, I had no clue what that was because I'd never seen one, but that didn't stop us from entering. So Joey and Julie got to show too in the carriage dog class, which was pretty fun. It was just crazy fun. Everything we tried kind of worked. And if it didn't work, we laughed about it. And if it did work, we laughed about it. So it was a magnificent adventure for all of us.
And Leah survived, did well, is at home or eating happily in a field someplace.
Oh, well, no, she survived, but then she went on to further adventures. She left from Kentucky and went to be fitted for a breed inspection. Similar to most of the warm blood registries, Haflingers do have breed inspections. Ours are voluntary. Some are required, but our breed is voluntary. So she went to be fitted for that. She went on to the inspection in Ohio about 3 weeks after the Kentucky horse show. Then she went, and my friend Stacy Westfall had her in her place in Ohio for a little while, and did
never heard of her.
For her. Yeah, that girl, you know. Anyway, so Stacy had her for a while, and then Leah came back out west for a month. Then we took her back to Oklahoma for the Western Dressage World Championships, and she won some stuff there with both me and another friend of mine, her eighth exhibitor, who won some things with her. And then she came back home for a little while. So she's been out here for a while, and now we're doing working equitation this year. And we just went to the North American Championships on that, where she was real successful. So,
well, you know, we always talk about lifetime. We always talk about lifetime horses, the ones that you meet that you don't get too many of in your life, who are like Leah, who do everything and are so amiable about all of it and don't cause any trouble. And, you know, we all pray for those, right? And sounds like you found one there. So congratulations. And she's cute as a dickens, by the way.
Thank you.
Horse or pony, she's cute. It doesn't matter. And talk about cuteness level with horses. Go to a Haflinger show with 100 of them. It's like, that's got to be amazing.
Oh yeah, that was it was craziness. In the open English pleasure class, there were 29 Haflingers, and the judges' eyes as they were trotting into the arena last summer got bigger and bigger as 29 more or less identical horses come into the arena. And to see them all lined up together, it's like, wow, because they're very strong breed characteristics, or they're very similar in appearance.
Judge that.
Other horses have different colors.
I'm just going to close my eyes and point, and that one wins.
I'll tell you, it can be challenging sometimes because they can be hard to tell apart. I mean, obviously their owners and breeders and so forth recognize them, but at a glance, there's a whole bunch of these matching, really attractive golden horses, and you're like, and you can't tell them apart by their tail. That's the hair test is a good one. The horses with a really good tail stand out, right? Halflingers tend to produce a lot of mane and tail. They're total Barbie horses, so you can't tell them apart by that. It's a good thing we wear numbers.
Suzanne, where can people find pictures of her?
Let's see. The easiest place to find pictures of her is probably on the Chronicle of the Horse. If you do a search there for Haflinger Adventure, there's several different stories, several different chapters, we'll say, of the unfolding craziness that we went through last summer and the fun and giggles we had with her. So that's a good place to look.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne. We appreciate you joining us, and good luck with Leah.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you asking about this, and I just encourage everybody to chase your horse dreams and have a wonderful time while you're doing it.
That's perfect. All right, let's take a break, Jamie, because she can't see our notes today because she's traveling. We're going to take a break for a song, and then we're going to bring on our next guest. We're going to have Deanne.
I still have equestrian first world
which
problems.
We'll have to wait till after Deanne. So,
okay.
So that's what I was going to tell you. Hold on. Don't get all anxious. It's okay. We'll get to it.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead plays a song in her head somewhere between. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, belling hay for miles and miles. She says innocence grows right out of the ground. She
between. Cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. Doing that song that he sang about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Oh, one of my favorite songs that we play, my favorite song we play here on Horses in the Morning, Jared Rogerson, Peace, Love, and Horses. Thank you guys for joining us. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. And we're going to come to our guest. Is Deanne ready?
Yes. I am. Can you hear me?
Fantastic. Hello, friend. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
We're great. Thank you for joining us. And what's happening in Horse Nation?
You know, not a whole lot. Just publishing and posting like we always do. As we head into fall, getting a lot of people thinking about fresh ponies and winter coming and getting ready for Halloween.
Oh, that's got to be a fun one for Horse Nation to cover some Halloween stuff, because y'all, it is the wacky world of horses. So what do you guys have planned for Halloween?
Well, so we're actually partnering up with you guys. We announced this last week that we're doing our third annual Horse Nation Halloween short story contest. So we need people to keep submitting those stories so we can share the spooky barn stories, or if not so spooky, maybe a little bit funny rides that come about in the fall. And so that's kind of the main thing on the docket for Halloween.
You know, last year when we did that, we had a competition to see who read the best story. And it was Leslie and it was Jamie and Jennifer and I all read stories. So, and now Jamie always declares herself the victor. So that's,
I was going to say, didn't I win that?
Well, so wait, who's the judge of the contest? Is it Jamie?
Apparently Jamie is, yes.
I had an aunt who always said that if you're keeping score and you're not winning, you're doing it wrong. I feel like that sounds kind of similar to this.
I'm with you. That's the way I roll. I mean, you know, if somebody's got to make me a winner, it's got to be me. So I was noticing some articles on Horse Nation, and you know, we had the Thoroughbred Makeover a couple weeks ago, and it is an arduous task, man, to get one horse that trained as and plan to make it across the country. And we know horses, and bubble wrap was just not an option for my horse. Fortunately, we made it, but regrettably, you had a blogger that didn't make it.
That's right. Casey French didn't make it, and I don't even think leading into it, the whole time, I think she was pretty well on track. She had fought abscesses, as we all do, but, you know, she's a really consistent, methodical trainer, so I think she kept going, you know, we're right where we need to be. And then the week she was due to travel, Alvy abscessed, and she had to make the call. I forget if it was the morning she was supposed to leave or the night before, but it was that close to the wire. And I know she was heartbroken. I mean, she really was looking forward not only to running barrels, but also doing Western dressage, which, like, personally, I wanted to see a cross competitor to those two events, because I think it really showcases the versatility and the trainability of the breed. And she was bummed. We were bummed. Everyone was bummed.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the night before, the morning of, you are packed. You are ready. You have planned. You're gassed up. You're hooked up. You're, I mean, every single potential thing you have is ready to go. Wow. That had to be hard. So how did she handle it?
You know, I mean, professionally, she of course handled it very well. I think we got a message that was like, oh my gosh, I'm crying right now. I'm in tears. But, you know, the whole time she knew that the makeover wasn't the end goal for her and Alvy. So I think that was really important. I think she went into this knowing that, even if Alvy wasn't a forever horse for her, her goal was to get him very trained and very broke. And that wasn't going to be, you know, the culmination wasn't going to be at the end of those 10 months of training. As it turns out, she loves this horse. She's totally keeping him. So she's, I know she was really devastated to miss the event because, you know, she's like, and she's like, I can't just keep a barn full of horses. So this might have been a one-time thing for me. But I think in the long run, she's okay because he is a horse that's going to stay at her barn and that she's going to keep training and keep running him.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the pictures, if you guys go to Horse Nation, you can see the pictures of this horse. It is very dramatic from when she got him to what he looks like now. So very impressive. She's done a great job. Another article that I really liked was six realizations that occur during a clinic. And it's a GIF article, and it just makes me happy to see Leslie Knope.
Me too. As a fan of Parks and Rec, I use her wherever I can.
I love it. Talk to us about this article.
Well, so I try to do periodic clinics throughout the year, one just because I'm always looking to improve myself and my knowledge base. And two, you know, it provides great fodder for articles. So I'm getting started in cowboy mounted shooting. I've been dabbling in it for a few years, but I'm trying to get serious and really focus on doing it well. So I went to a mounted shooting clinic and hobbled away bow-legged and sore and wondering about every, you know, choice I've made up until this point in my life, as often happens when you have a clinic. And I felt like even though my clinic was very discipline specific, you know, as we all know in the horse world, if I'm thinking it, probably somebody else is.
Yeah. And I like number two. So that was the muscles you didn't even know you have hurt. And that is so true. Oh my gosh. Like, what is that? I didn't even know I had a muscle there and it hurts. And then the second one, I love that. Like, you don't know anything about adjusting tack because your stirrups, you know, the ones you've spent months or years getting dialed into the perfect position, the clinician will inevitably tell you your stirrups are too short. Your stirrups are too long. But they're wrong. You got to move it around. They're crooked. You know, there's so many different things. So, and usually along with the stirrups, I don't know if you put this in there, but you need a new saddle too, and probably a different bit. And a clinic is going to make you spend a lot more money than just a clinic fee.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like whenever you go into those and you're getting your stirrup adjustments and your bit adjustments, you know, in my mind, I always have all those things like, but this is why they are the way they are. And then I have to check myself and be like, you know what? I paid for this professional to help me get better. So I need to suck it up, accept what I don't know and move forward.
Actually, yeah, it's really hard. You actually paid for it. So you actually probably should listen to them. I mean, you know,
right.
You paid all that money for it. Might as well pay attention. This article is really good. It talks a lot about what kind of a funny way of going to clinics, and you can see lots of gifts. It's really fun. And then something else, I swear you're in my head, because I just have recently noticed that a lot of people, our listeners included, are getting donkeys.
Oh, there are. Yeah,
everybody seems to have a donkey.
There are so many. We live in an equestrian neighborhood here, and there are so many donkeys now that when they start off, you can hear it go down the line. You can all the way down the road. It's twice a day.
So bad.
And see, it's working on you. It's here you are, Jamie. You're going, oh no, I want one too. And I feel like when people first started getting them, I went like, donkeys, really? But then I started looking into it. I'm like, okay, they actually sound pretty cool if they're well-trained and not mean to your horses.
Yeah, but I got to tell you a story real quick, because I was going to tell this last week, but it's perfect that I can talk about this with Deanne here. So we have a neighbor that has a farm right behind our barn, and their pasture comes right up to the edge. And there's a fence there. There's no gate or anything. There's a fence there. And apparently she's babysitting. She's a really older lady, and she's babysitting this horse and this little donkey. I mean, little donkey. And what we used to call zombie donkey earlier in the show. So because a lot of them are. But the horse was colicking the one morning. It was a Sunday morning. And Jennifer said, that horse is colicking. We don't know the owner's phone number. So we drive around to go to the front of their house and can't get in the gate. And we're panicking because this horse was colicking. When I came back around and I saw her walking out, she had noticed too, from her house, the donkey was nudging the horse to get it back up.
Wow.
Nudging it on the belly, trying to get the horse to stand back up. Apparently, then the owner came out and I talked to her and she said, oh, the horse colics all the time. This is not the first time. So
it apparently colics all the time.
But the donkey was doing that. And that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I've been waiting to tell that story. Thank you, Dan.
Sure thing. That's amazing. I mean, they really are intelligent animals. I referenced this in the article, but like no wonder Benjamin in Animal Farm was a donkey.
Now, on the other hand, let's be real. Every owner of a donkey I've ever talked to says, yeah, that thing's a little
opinionated, yeah, cute. Yeah. Is that what you're going to say?
It starts
like
with
adorable?
An S and ends with a T. That's what they always say. So they love having their donkeys, but apparently they're all little, you know what?
Well, I've heard good kind of pros and cons. Like some people say they're great guardians of livestock. And then I think we had the donkey rescue on and they were like, yeah, don't get them for guardians of livestock. So which is it?
Well, and from what I was reading, like looking into it, if they bond with the herd, they're excellent guardians. If they don't, then they treat the herd members
as predators.
What, do
they encourage the fox to come in and eat the rest then? Come on. I'll let you in.
I'm holding the gate up.
Or they save themselves, right,
come
and
here,
leave, the herd, leave to the herd to themselves.
Go eat
do
them.
Do they bond with chickens? Because I'd love to put one in my coop.
I think you should do that and take a video and see what happens. Yeah,
okay, sounds good.
See how that goes.
Submit it to Horse Nation. We'd like to watch.
We need to do a dedicated donkey episode where all we talk to is donkey owners. That ought to be interesting.
That would be fun. We'll have a donkey show. I'm sure you'll have a show on the network in no time about donkeys.
Just about donkeys.
Oh, the things you could name it.
We have a lot of listeners that have donkeys, though. You're right, Jamie. We have a lot of
them. Yeah. Well, Deanne, where can people go and enter the Horse Nation contest for writing stories that are scary about maybe donkeys, zombie donkeys? Oh, my God. Glenn, write a zombie donkey
I need to write a zombie donkey story.
Write a zombie donkey story. Do it. So they can go to horsenation.com. The article is posted there. It's the third annual Horse Nation Halloween short story contest, and it has all of my contact information as well as the details. The main thing is to have the story be generally under 2,500 words and submit it by midnight, technically on Monday, but midnight on Sunday the 27th. They can go to horsenation.com and find the details.
Fantastic. Deanne, thank you so much for coming on and joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Deanne. Bye-bye. So Deanne's going to join us once a week, and she's going to be with us this 3 weeks of the month. And Leslie, don't worry, Leslie's still coming back, but 1 week a month with us. So
she like had a kid and
yeah,
you know
was
life stuff.
And all that. See, we talked to her for 10 years when she didn't have a life and it was easy, but now she has a life.
True.
All right, I think it's time to talk first about a saddle that Jennifer and I absolutely love here. Most of you know that Wintec saddles are used here at the Horse Radio Network studios in Florida. You'll be excited to learn that the Wintec saddle model clearance is on now. You don't want to miss out on unbelievable deals across the Wintec range with up to 25% off retail of selected models, including the popular Wintec 500 all-purpose first saddle I ever rode in like a long time ago. WinTech Pro Jump, WinTech Isabel, and the WinTech Pro Endurance, plus many more. This is the perfect opportunity to purchase a lightweight, comfortable, and weatherproof saddle from America's favorite synthetic saddle brand. These easy-care, weatherproof saddles are perfect for riding during the winter, as they can withstand mud, rain, snow, sleet, hail, tornadoes, all of that. Be prepared for winter riding now and save. This exciting offer is only valid while stocks last, so gallop into your nearest WinTech local or online dealer today, or visit WinTech-Saddles.com. That's WinTech-Saddles.com for information on the complete line of WinTech saddles. I made that up, but I think they would survive our tornado. I really do.
Yeah, I have two WinTechs, and I've had them for like 150 years.
Exactly. Really.
And so I use one of them as my starter saddle. Like, I have, the first time I get on a horse, that's the saddle that I use. So I put it on, and I really do think a tornado could, a tree could drop on it, and it'd be like, okay, I'm still good. Well, I'm fine.
The gullet chain system is why a lot of riding lesson programs use WinTech saddles.
Mine predate that.
Yeah. Yeah, you have an old one. No, but the gullet chain system is why practically every horse school uses WinTechs for that reason. They can just make them fit whatever. All right, it is time. First world problem.
Well, remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem, and you are invited to share your equestrian first world problems. Every Sunday night, I make a post asking for what happened to you this week dramatically, and these are the actual posts by our auditors. So if you want to participate in that, go be an auditor. You can go to horsesinthemorning.com, right? Yes. Horse Radio Network. Yep. One of those.
Either one.
So we're going to start with Kristen. She said, I have an awesome job interview tomorrow for a job that is such a great fit and it pays so well and it's close to the barn, but it's far from my house. How is this a problem?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
This is like the greatest
every horse
problem.
Woman I've ever known would rather be at the barn than the house. So,
Yeah. I mean, you could like see your horse at lunch. That'd
especially
awesome.
If the husband's at the house, they'd still rather be at the barn than the house.
Lindsay, no comment. Lindsay says, I just
let's just stop you there. The fact that Chad listens now kind of ruins our program. I'm just saying. Chad, you need to stop listening to this show. It's just saying.
I'm pretty sure he's tuning in right now. He travels. He's in hotel rooms. He's bored. I'm sure he's tired of watching, you know, Fox News or whatever, CNN.
He can't answer one more question on Jeopardy. He's done with that.
Yeah, he knows them all. Lindsay says, I just took my own temperature, and it took me like a whole 10 seconds to remember that 99.8 is a horse temperature and not a normal human one. People.
That's only 1 degree off. You're fine.
You're fine. Yeah. You're fine. Take an Advil. But I would
used
also
to
like
not
to
worry
say,
until it was up to 104 for like 3 days.
You know? Are you bleeding? No, you're fine.
Exactly.
I would like to point out that, just remember, if you do have a thermometer, it is not the one that goes up the horse's butt. I bought a thermometer for the barn. I took it out of the barn and Chad's like, Lucas, we need to take his temperature. And I'm like, oh, I have a thermometer. It's in the barn. And he was like, no, like it's brand new. It's in the baggage bill. Jillian says, I have a perfect, awesome trail horse that everyone complains is too fast, but I want a faster one. You hate riding with those people. I've trail ridden with people that have Tennessee walking horses, and you're give me a break.
Plus, they go forever. They never stop.
They never stop. Kayla, this is definitely a first world problem. She said she won the Lickett sweepstakes from Horse Lovers, but I don't have a horse to give it to.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Well, it is a problem. You're going to have to get a horse. I mean, Christmas is coming.
Or give a lot of them away for Christmas.
Yeah. There you go. Christmas presents for everybody. Zach says,
Scooter would love one. Just saying, hint, hint.
This is Zach. I'm missing my barn's fall festival and show because I'll be out of town and taking my kid to Disney World. Yeah, that sucks. Matt says, a guy bought my tractor on Saturday, and right after he left, I went and bought a Bobcat. but I had to work today and I didn't get to play with it. That's, by the way, two men in a row submitting for Equestrian First World Problems.
That's a first. Yeah. There's a first right there.
My Equestrian First World Problem, by the way, let me just throw mine in, is that I went and got a free flight leaving Santa Barbara to Phoenix, and I got to like hang out with my friends all night long, but now I can't get home.
You're going to be renting a car and driving home again?
Oh, God, that's too far. Samantha says, I got a flu shot for free, but it made my arm hurt. I can't lift anything at the barn. That's why you don't get flu shots.
Do you get flu shots? I don't get flu shots. I refuse to answer that question. I just get sick every time.
Yeah, Chaz is like, he had to do it for the military for every year. And every year there'd be like all the guys in the squadron would be sick because they have to get him the same time.
I was never as sick as after the time I got the flu shot. I was so sick. I just can't do it again. It's like when you get food poisoning off a particular food and you never eat that food again. Well, that's how I am with flu shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Kimberly says, a clinician I ride with came to my area to drop off some horses and then like decided to give a last minute clinic. So I went home, I grabbed my trailer, I grabbed my horse, got to the clinic, but I forgot to wear the right sports bra. Oh girl, that is a first world problem for sure. I mean, that's just a problem. And she rides dressage. She now I'm a sitting trot. Oh God.
I guess it also depends on, you know, another, size matters in that case, is what I'm trying to say.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter because I'm on the low end of that spectrum. And if I don't have the right sports bra, I'm not sitting a trot. Okay. Clinician says, okay, sit from A to X. You're like, no, not going to happen. Denise says, I got a call from the local tech store because they have a Bade saddle for me to check out. And it's exactly what I was looking for. And I arrived and noticed it's brown and not black. Carrie, this is such a problem and I'm so sad for you. I love my full seat tights, but now it's getting too cold to ride in them and I have to wear my other pants, but they don't have a cell phone pocket.
Why do they make any breeches without cell phone pockets anymore?
I know.
And that's what a horse holster's for, just saying.
I love the tights, you know, the tights with the pockets and my smooth strides. But, I don't wear the smooth strides in the summertime when I ride because I have tights. So those are the two things that have pockets. Yeah. Why?
And there's so many different size phones now. It's got to be tough to design a pocket for everybody.
Just make it big. Caitlin says, my trainer asked me if I would warm up all the horses for an IEA show, but it's the same weekend as Equine Affair. Decisions. Courtney
ride
says,
horses,
I went to
shop, ride horses, shop, ride horses, shop. I know shopping won.
Maybe. I don't know. She liked riding the horses. Courtney says that she went to New Vocations today and she got to look at all the horses and like loving them, but they were for a friend. So unfair. Christy said, I had such a great weekend camping and riding and one of my coworkers decided to take today off and now I have to work a full day instead of my typical quote, short Monday.
How does anybody get a short Monday?
Nobody
gets short Mondays. They get short Fridays, usually, not short Mondays.
Scamming. She is like, somebody clock in for me. I'll be there around noon.
I don't know what made me think of this, the short day thing. Do you remember, and I wonder if they still do this, all dentists used to take Wednesday afternoon off to play golf. You could never get to a dentist on Wednesday afternoon.
I do not remember that because I don't know. My husband golfs whenever he wants. Haley, this is weird. I had to do this one because you'll see.
Do they have golf courses in Oklahoma?
They do. Oh, okay. Yes, they do. There's golf courses everywhere. It's a waste of good pasture. I went to buy hay cubes, Haley says, and I accidentally bought pellets and I didn't realize it until I already opened the bag and now I have to feed the pellets instead. And part two of this is I'm watching an episode of Heartland and they keep saying hay cubes are way better than pellets.
Discussing controversial subjects on that show.
I mean, yeah, the drama. I mean, you can see why that big military veteran wants to watch that.
He's probably in there saying, hay cubes, hay cubes.
Obviously, you get the hay cubes, duh. Stephanie says, my husband made me go to the doctor and like I'm sick And he made me rest and watch horsey TV all weekend.
Such a mean guy, that guy.
Mean dude. Let's see. How many?
Three more.
Katie said, I was all proud of myself for downloading one of those like neighing horse apps to get my horse's ears forward for my daughter's senior photo shoot. But I think it worked too good because I heard the photographer muttering something about looking bug-eyed in all the pictures. Man, let me tell you something. That is the truth. You use that, it will their ears will go up. Along with about everything else.
Those really do work. Remember when we had that lady on when she first designed that app? And yeah. We were like, oh, this can't work. And then we both tried it. It was like, oh, yeah, it really works.
I videoed it. All the horses were like galloping around, snorting like, where's the mystery horse? Rebecca says that I visited my parents this weekend in Fairhill, and I wanted to watch Lainey Asher's dressage on Friday, but I went to my favorite tack shop and took too long looking at everything. Then I bought stuff I didn't really need, and I lost track of time, and I missed a ride.
You can do that in that area.
Shopping, riding, what were you saying? There. And then finally, this is like so sad. I saved it for last because I feel so bad for April, because she says, after a long weekend of having to work, my husband was supposed to cook some ribeyes and clean stalls so I could eat steak and play with the horses. And he didn't even get around to cleaning the stalls. And then my steak was well done instead of medium rare.
Divorce.
Get that man back in that barn. You are not eating your steak till you muck out my stalls.
He's a goner. He won't
as
last.
Always.
Give him another Get rid year.
These are like, you know, grown children, but like, whatever. Get rid of him. How's he not more trained?
All this time, you think you would have got it done by now.
Think you know somebody, and then he burns your steak and doesn't muck out your stalls. Forget it.
Burning steak is never a problem you've ever had.
I'm not, you know what? Chad's a question, first world problem. So like I have a ribeye and I really want to eat it, but my wife won't touch it.
He's just going to have to learn to cook.
Oh,
I'm bad at steak. I don't cook steak at home.
We have a grill and my dad was visiting last week and he's like, great. You guys have a nice grill. You guys ever use it? How many times a week? And I was like, I've never used it.
What vegetable do you cook on the grill?
I don't know.
I've seen people char things on the grill vegetable wise.
I bet you could throw like a zucchini on there.
Yeah, that's what they do, zucchini or even peppers. And you know, if you need them charred for something.
All right, I'm hungry. I'm
gonna
go.
Anything about vegetarianism? So, you know, the vegetables I eat, peas and corn. That's it. That's what I eat. Peas.
Oh my god, you're my father-in-law. You will only eat like that's. I like
green beans too.
Like 70s. Yeah, canned green beans though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's correct. That's exactly. The one. I will eat fresh green beans, except they take forever to cook, and it's like a pain.
Oh my God, no, they don't. Move on. End this show. Spay, neuter, kill. Trying to go.
Tomorrow's the Western episode with Tara here on Horses in the Morning. Jamie's hopefully home by Wednesday, maybe. She gets a ride.